Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. My name is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar and Dei Rav Zeches Nazir Daf Dal. The first parak called Konuyei Naziros. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission teaches the differences between a Nazir Shimshon and a Nazir Olam. A permanent Nazir, one who declared himself a Nazir for life. Nazir Olam Hikbit Sa'aro Meku Batar. One who is a Nazir Olam, if his hair grows heavy, he may lighten it by trimming it with a razor. Maybe Shalosh Behemoth, and he brings three animals for Karbanos at that time. Vim Nitma, maybe Karban Tuma. And if he becomes Tame, he brings the Karbanos of Tuma of an ordinary Nazir. The Gemara will source the permit to periodically trim his hair and bring Karbanos then from Avshalom. The Rush, however, says that these laws were received by oral tradition, and the Gemara's sources are intended as an Asmakta. The Mishnah continues, Nazir Shimshon, Hikbit Sa'aro Enomeka. A Nazir Shimshon, even if his hair grows heavy, he may not ever lighten it. And if he becomes Tame, he does not bring the Karbanos of Tuma. The Gemara will clarify that a Nazir Shimshon is permitted to become Tame and says that we know by tradition that Shimshon came in contact with Tuma, although it cannot be established unequivocally from Psukim. Point number two, a Braisa teaches the Machlokas about Nazir Shimshon. Rabbi Yehuda says he's permitted to become Tame, as our Mishnah has explained to mean. Rabbi Shimon says, Omer Nazir Shimshon Lomar Klum. One who says, I'm here by a Nazir Shimshon has said nothing. Shalom etzin but Shimshon shiatzes Nazir's mepiv, because we do not find about Shimshon that a vow of Nazir has ever left his mouth. The Gemara attempts to parallel this Machlokas with the Machlokas about one who forbids an item on himself like a Bechor, which is forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda like Rabbi Yaakov, who says the neder is valid despite a Bechor's Kedusha being automatic and not declared by vow, and he would also validate a Nazir Shimshon, although Shimshon himself was a Nazir without human declaration. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, who says the neder is not valid because the Bechor's Kedusha is automatic, and he would also invalidate a Nazir Shimshon. The Gemara rejects his explanation and says that all Tanaim agree that a neder must be linked with something forbidden by declaration. The Machlokas by Bechor hinges on the fact that although the Bechor is automatically Kadosh, its owner must verbally declare its Kedusha. The Rush suggests several explanations of Rabbi Yehuda's position that a Nazir Shimshon is valid, including that Shimshon may have verbally accepted his Nazirus upon reaching adulthood. And point number three, Shimon HaTzadik declared that he never ate from the carbon ashim of a Nazir who became Tame. Tosos explains that a Nazir who becomes Tame needs to begin counting his Nazirus anew, and he feared that the Nazir would regret his Nazirus, rendering the carbon to be chulin brought in the Azara. He said, however, that there was one incident when he did partake of the carbon. He once met a very handsome Nazir whose locks were arranged in curls. When Shimon HaTzadik asked him why he undertook to destroy his hair by becoming a Nazir, he responded that he had once seen his reflection and was seized by his Yetzer and reacted forcibly by declaring himself a Nazir and shave his hair for the sake of heaven. Shimon HaTzadik kissed him on his head and declared, "Kamos Chagirbu Nazirim Yisrael, may there be more vows of Nazirus in Yisrael like you. Alecha, Kasav Omer, it's about you that the Pasuk says, Ish ki yaflu indor neder Nazir lazir Hashem. If a man clearly vows to be a Nazir to abstain for the sake of Hashem." So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah teaches the differences between a Nazir Shimshon and Nazir Olam, a permanent Nazir, one who declared himself a Nazir for life. Nazir Olam hikbit sa'aro meku batar. One who is a Nazir Olam, if his hair grows heavy, he may lighten it by trimming it with a razor. Maybe Shalosh Behemoth, and he brings three animals for Karbanos at that time. Vim Nitma, maybe Karban Tuma. And if he becomes Tame, he brings the Karbanos of Tuma of an ordinary Nazir. The Gemara will source the permit to periodically trim his hair and bring Karbanos then from Avshalom. The Rush, however, says that these laws were received by oral tradition, and the Gemara's sources are intended as an Asmakta. The Mishnah continues, Nazir Shimshon, Hikbit Sa'aro Enomeka. A Nazir Shimshon, even if his hair grows heavy, he may not ever lighten it. And if he becomes Tame, he does not bring the Karbanos of Tuma. The Gemara will clarify that a Nazir Shimshon is permitted to become Tame and says that we know by tradition that Shimshon came in contact with Tuma, although it cannot be established unequivocally from Psukim. Point number two, a Braisa teaches the Machlokas about Nazir Shimshon. Rabbi Yehuda says he's permitted to become Tame, as our Mishnah has explained to mean. Rabbi Shimon says, Omer Nazir Shimshon Lomar Klum. One who says, I'm here by a Nazir Shimshon has said nothing. Shalom etzin but Shimshon shiatzes Nazir's mepiv, because we do not find about Shimshon that a vow of Nazir has ever left his mouth. The Gemara attempts to parallel this Machlokas with the Machlokas about one who forbids an item on himself like a Bechor, which is forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda like Rabbi Yaakov, who says the neder is valid despite a Bechor's Kedusha being automatic and not declared by vow, and he would also validate a Nazir Shimshon, although Shimshon himself was a Nazir without human declaration. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, who says the neder is not valid because the Bechor's Kedusha is automatic, and he would also invalidate a Nazir Shimshon. The Gemara rejects this explanation and says that all Tanaim agree that a neder must be linked with something forbidden by declaration. The Machlokes by Bechor hinges on the fact that although the Bechor is automatically Kadosh, its owner must verbally declare its Kedusha. The Rush suggests several explanations of Rav Yehuda's position that a Nazir Shimshon is valid, including that Shimshon may have verbally accepted his Naziris upon reaching adulthood. And point number three, Shimon HaTzadik declared that he never ate from the carbon ashim of a Nazir who became Tameh. Tosos explains that a Nazir who becomes Tameh needs to begin counting his Naziris anew, and he feared that the Nazir would regret his Naziris, rendering the carbon to be chulin brought in the Azara. He said, however, that there was one incident when he did partake of the carbon. He once met a very handsome Nazir whose locks were arranged in curls. When Shimon HaTzadik asked him why he undertook to destroy his hair by becoming a Nazir, he responded that he had once seen his reflection and was seized by his Yetzer and reacted forcibly by declaring himself a Nazir and shave his hair for the sake of heaven. Shimon HaTzadik kissed him on his head and declared, "Kamos chayirbu Nazirim b'Yisrael, may there be more vows of a Naziris in Yisrael like you. Alecha, Kasav Omer, it's about you that the Pasuk says, Ish ki yaflu indor neder Nazir l'Azir Hashem. If a man clearly vows to be a Nazir to abstain for the sake of Hashem." All right, so now we go to Simur Daf Dalet, and our standard simon is a delet, a door. So here goes. The Nazir Shimshon, who would not let the very different Nazir Olam come through the hairy door to see his hairy Bechor, did let the handsome Nazir enter whose hairy locks were arranged in curls. Once again, it's a motion. The Nazir Shimshon, who would not let the very different Nazir Olam come through the hairy door, that must be more in Daf. Dala, Dela, door. The Nazir Shimshon, who would not let the very different Nazir Olam come through the hairy door, which reminds us the Mishnah teaches the difference between a Nazir Shimshon and a Nazir Olam. A Nazir Shimshon may never cut his hair, and if he becomes Tameh, does not bring Karbanos for Tumah. So the Nazir Shimshon, who would not let the very different Nazir Olam come through the hairy door to see his hairy Bechor, which reminds us, a Braisa teaches a Machlokes about Nazir Shimshon. Rav Yehuda says he's permitted to become Tameh, as our Mishnah has explained. Rav Shimon says, Ha'omer Nazir Shimshon l'omer klum. One who says, I'm hereby Nazir Shimshon, has said nothing, because we do not find about Shimshon that a vow of Naziris ever left his mouth. The Gemara attempts to parallel this Machlokes with a Machlokes about one who forbids an item on himself, like a Bechor, which is forbidden. So the Nazir Shimshon, who would not let the very different Nazir Olam come through the hairy door to see his hairy Bechor, did let the handsome Nazir enter, whose hairy locks were arranged in curls. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates the incident with Shimon HaTzadik, who did partake of a carbon of a handsome Nazir. So once again, the Nazir Shimshon, who would not let the very different Nazir Olam come through the hairy door to see his hairy Bechor, did let the handsome Nazir enter, whose hairy locks were arranged in curls. All right, so now it's time for Vorbla Bach Hazar. Dav Tzadi. So the Simur Dav Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. The tzedakah collector, that must mean one Dav Tzadi, tzedakah box. The tzedakah collector took a vow to learn halacha before getting married, which reminds us of the incident of a man who vowed not to benefit from anyone if he would marry before learning halacha, referring to Shas Mishnayos, and how Rav Acha bar Rav Huna tricked him to think that marriage would not trigger the neder, and he married, which forbade him from benefiting from anyone. Rav Acha then smeared him with dirt to show him his immediate need for other people to launder his clothes, and brought him to Rav Chisda to annul his neder. So the tzedakah collector took a vow to learn halacha before getting married and went around with his tzedakah box collecting for three women whom he initially believed were divorced, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, three statements of women were originally believed for them to be divorced and collect their ksuba. Omer's tamei ani locha, one who says, I'm defiled to you, which means she had relations with another man and is thereby forbidden to her husband. Shemaim beini levenecha, or heaven is between me and you, which means he's impotent and cannot have children, which no one else knows but heaven. Natula ani min Yehudim, or I'm removed from Jews, which means she made a neder forbidding herself in relations with all Jews, which indicates that relations are very painful for her. Later, the Rabbanan grew concerned that a woman may set her eyes on another man and make these claims to free herself to marry him, so they revised what must be done. So the tzedakah collector took a vow to learn halacha before getting married and went around with his tzedakah box collecting for three women whom he initially believed were divorced, was shocked when he saw the wife who said she had relations with another man still married to her Kohen husband and eating truma. Which reminds us, the Gemara inquires if a woman claims she had relations with another man but is not believed to forbid herself to her husband as per the rabbi's enactment, can she continue to eat truma if she's married to a Kohen? By her own admission, she's forbidden to eat truma, and there would seem no reason not to believe her. Rav Sheshe said, Ochelas shelotot silaz al beneha. She may eat truma so as not to cast aspersions on her children's lineage. If she'll be forbidden in truma, people will believe her claim of being defiled and consider the children born afterwards to be chalalim. Rava disagreed because she can eat chulin, and people will simply assume she has no available truma. Daf Tzadi Alf. So the Simmer Daf Tzadi Alf is an exit sign. So here goes. The Kohen's wife who was violated and was standing under the exit sign. Exit sign. That must mean we're on Daf Tzadi Alf. Tzay. The Kohen's wife who was violated and was standing under the exit sign with her ksuba, which reminds us, on the previous Daf, we had the question whether a wife of a Kohen who was violated and thereby forbidden to him collects her ksuba or not. Do we say that since her being violated is equal to a Yisrael's wife committing adultery willingly, in that they both become forbidden to their husbands, so she would lose her ksuba like a Yisrael's wife who is willingly unfaithful? Or can she say that as far as she's concerned, she would be permitted to him since she was violated, and it's only his special status as a Kohen which forbids her to him, so it should be viewed as his bad fortune and no fault of hers? They resolve the query from her Mishnah, which indicates that she does collect her ksuba. So the Kohen's wife who was violated was standing under the exit sign with her ksuba, who overheard her friend say to her husband, "You have divorced me," which reminds us. The Gemara asks, if a woman says to her husband, "You have divorced me," what is the halacha? Is she believed to marry someone else? Rav Avnun suggested a resolution from a Mishnah which taught that the woman who claimed to have been defiled is not believed according to the Mishnah's later ruling. That's only because she realized that the husband doesn't know the truth, so she's not afraid to lie to him, but to claim that he divorced her, which he knows about, she should be believed. Because there's an assumption that a woman would not be so brazen-faced to her husband to claim what he knows to be untrue. Rava sought to prove the opposite. So, the Kohen's wife who was violated and was standing under the exit sign with her ksuba, who overheard her friend say to her husband, "You have divorced me," almost got knocked down by a man who broke through a weak wall and fled. Which reminds us, Gemara brings an incident of a man who was secluded with someone's wife, and when the husband returned, the man broke through a weak wall and fled. Rava said that we are confident no sin was committed, and he need not divorce her even as a chumrah, because the adulterer would have hidden. Daf Beis. So the sim for Daf Beis is a bais, a house. So here goes. The Nazir's in the hairy Nazir house. That must be on Daf Beis, bais, house. The Nazir's in the hairy Nazir house, which had a sign, Nazir, Nazik, Upazir, over the door, which reminds us that the Masechta opens discussing kinuim of Naziros, such as Nazir, Nazik, Upazir, as well as Yados for Naziros, and explains the reason the Mishnah brings examples of Yados before examples of kinuim, even though kinuim were mentioned first, is since Yados are learned from Midrasha, they're especially precious to the Tana. So the Nazir's in the hairy Nazir house, which had a sign with Nazir, Nazik, Upazir, over the door, and overlooked the temple where sotas were disgraced, which reminds us the reason that Nazir is in Seder Nashim, in proximity to the Masechtas of Sota and Gittin, instead of in Kachim, is to say that the cause of a sota's sin was drinking wine, and therefore teaches, Kol ro sota bekukula yazu atzmo min yayin. Whoever sees a sota in her disgrace should restrain himself through Nazirus from wine. So the Nazir's in the hairy house, which had a sign with Nazir, Nazik, Upazir, over the door, and overlooked the temple where sotas were disgraced, often heard people passing by saying, "Ehei," and "Ehei na'eh," which reminds us, the Mishnah teaches that the declarations of "Ehei" and "Ehei na'eh" are effective to make someone a Nazir, and the Gemara explains that the cases were where a Nazir was passing by, and the person had a mind to become a Nazir. Daf Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes. The man riding the hairy camel, that must be one Daf Gimel, Gamal, camel. The man riding the hairy camel, who was inspired by water sent to make fruit trees grow, and said, Hari alai l'shalech pera, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who says, Hari l'shalech pera, it is upon me to grow tresses, is a Nazir. The Gemara explains that the source of the word shiluch means to grow is from the pasuk shalachayich partis rimonim, your growth of hair are like an orchard of pomegranates. The Gemara clarifies that the pasuk of v'shalech maim al pnei chutzos and sends water upon the fields can be understood to mean growth, that when they water the fruit trees, they grow. The pasuk would then mean who causes fruit to grow through water on the fields. So the man riding the hairy camel who was inspired by water sent to make fruit trees grow and said, Hari alai l'shalech pera, was inspired again by some hairy birds flying by and said, an obligation of birds is upon me, which reminds us. The Mishnah say that one who says, Hari alai tziparin, an obligation of birds is upon me, Rav Meir says he's a nazir, the Chachamim say he's not. Reish Lakish explains Rav Meir's position that his intent is to grow his hair long, and he alludes to hair by using the word birds, which are mentioned near each other in a pasuk in Daniel. Rav Meir holds matbis inish b'midi de samichle. A person would vow in reference to something mentioned nearby the term he intends, and the Chachamim disagree. Rabbi Yochanan has a different reason for Rav Meir. So the man riding the hairy camel, who was inspired by water, sent to make fruit trees grow, and said, Hari alai l'shelech pera, was inspired again by some hairy birds flying by and said, an obligation of birds is upon me. And then vowed a third time when he passed through a patch of grapeskins, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hari nazir mina chartzani mina zog mina talachas mina tuma. One who says, I'm hereby nazir from grape seeds, or from grapeskins, or from hair cutting, or from tuma, Hari is a nazir, but called diktukte nazir is a love. He's a nazir, and all the details of naziris are upon him. The acceptance of one aspect of naziris subjects him to a full status of naziris with all its laws. The Gemara says, our Mishnah does not accord with Rabbi Shimon, who holds, eno chayv ad shehidr makuam. He's not obligated in anything until he vows from all of them. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we discuss? If a wife says to her husband, you have divorced me, is she believed to marry someone else? That's on Duff. Study off in the darn. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we have a mochokas? If someone says he is a nazir from one aspect of naziris, such as grapeskins, is he a nazir or not? That's on Duff. Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we have a mochokas about a nazir shimshon and the comparison to a bechor? That's on Duff. Dalad. Good. Number 4. Which of the when the koa ro sota be kikua yazir atzmon in a yain, whoever sees a sota in her disgrace, should restrain himself through a naziris from wine. That's on Duff. Bays. Good. Number 5. Which of the when that the declarations of a hey and a hey na'er are effective to make someone a nazir. That's on Duff. Bays. Good. Number 6. Which stuff these Mokoks were mirror on the Kochamim? If one who says, Hari light siparin, an obligation of birds is upon me, is a nazir or not? That's on Duff. Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we have the incident of the handsome nazir who was approved of by Shimon Tzadik? That's on Duff. Dalad. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we have the incident of a man who vowed not to benefit from anyone if we would marry before learning halacha? That's on Duff. Tzadik. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you know that one who says, Hari alai l'shalech pera, it is upon me to grow tresses, is a nazir, and l'shalech means to grow? That's on Duff. Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which stuff does the Mishnah bring the differences between a nazir shimshon and a nazir olam? That's on Duff. Dalad. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.